for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 7th, 2005. 4th of July, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister of this service. It's been a blessing for Cheryl to be able to be here this much this week. Sometimes she's got so many other things to do that she can't be to as many services as she has this time. And I'm thankful for that. Amen.
I really believe that what I'm going to speak to you about this afternoon is something that I like to talk about. I like to talk about the fact that what we are doing is not an event, but that it's a lifestyle. It's not an event. Our lifestyle as deliverance ministers, as people who believe that the ministry of Jesus was for the entire body, and that it goes beyond salvation and healing, that it taps in and goes into deliverance, and that when you hit salvation and you hit deliverance, there's a circle. There's a circle. You don't get one without the other. Because see, when you get saved, a lot of stuff leaves. That's why you're able to walk in the rest of what you need to walk in as a believer. But in order to stay there, some of the things that are within us we have to be delivered of, and they bind us up and keep us from reaching our real destiny in God. So I use that word a lot because I believe that we have a destiny that we have not even tapped into yet. I believe, like Sister Mildred, that there are things that God wants us to do that we haven't even started to do yet. That I believe that the old evangelists and the Catherine Kuhlmans and the Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake, I believe they tapped into something that for some reason we don't feel like we should tap into. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. And I've talked about it before, but I feel like I'm supposed to talk about it again. When we look into the Bible and we talk about a lifestyle, the lifestyle of being a Christian, the one word that sticks out for me is liberty. The liberty, which means not being in bondage. Emancipation. We are at liberty to proclaim the mission of Christ. It's talked about in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, which is also mentioned again in Luke 4:18. So therefore, I feel that the lifestyle that we have is a life to go forth and to bring into manifestation the mission that Christ has given us. He gave it once in the Old Testament. God gave it once in the Old Testament and again in the New Testament. So I believe if God thought enough of this statement to mention it twice, one for the old and again for the new, then it behooves us to search the scriptures and to understand that our lifestyle is more than just loving everybody. You know, there's a tough love thing that Christians seem to be afraid to go after. Tough love means you confront people who are not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if I'm your friend and I have toilet paper on my shoe and I can go from here to Walmart and come back again and that toilet paper is still on my shoe, then I feel like I haven't seen a friend between here and Walmart. Somebody should tell me that I got toilet paper on my shoe. Someone should tell me that the words that I speak are good words, but it's something about the way that I said it that is offensive. So there should be someone who is willing to confront me and my issues. Isaiah again says, The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tithings. And sometimes people stop at the good tidings part. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Who is more brokenhearted than those that come to us whose hearts have been broken and they've been unable to heal, who have fallen, who have been drawn into that cycle of witchcraft, that cycle of alcohol abuse, that cycle of drug abuse, that cycle of pornography, that cycle, that mindset that will not allow them to walk in freedom and liberty in the things of God. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To me, that sounds like deliverance. Because there's nothing finer, there's nothing better than when you start praying for someone and you begin to see these doors open, where they begin to realize what God is saying to them, where they begin to realize that God loves them. This door opens and you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their faces. You can see it in the way they walk. You can hear it even in the way they begin to talk, that something has snapped, a door has come open, and they're coming out. And when for people who have the love of God on the inside of them, which will cause them to walk in the lifestyle of Jesus, there is nothing better than to have people be set free and to come out of the prisons that the enemy has set them in. There is a great joy. And when I think about how much joy I have when I see someone coming out, I have to think to myself, how much more joy is there in heaven and in the heart of God when we love each other enough to confront the issues, to stand together, to cast the demons out, open the door so our brothers and sisters can come through and experience the liberty that is in Jesus Christ. What joy he must be having. Liberty and bondage is based on truth being the instrument for that liberty and that bondage. And that liberty and freedom. I'm sorry. The reason I say that is, if you bring a group of people together and they have a lot of differences, if initially the people do not speak forth the truth about how they feel on a subject or an issue, they will never be able to be free with each other. They will always live under compromise. John 8:32 says what? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's repeated again in Romans 6:18. So, if I'm willing to be truthful with you, and you are willing to be truthful with me, then when we come together as friends, as husband, as wife, as people who are operating with a multiplicity of cultural differences, if we let the truth be the basis for who we are, where we're going, then we all are able to come together on that one truth. Because I can never bring you fully into my culture and make you understand what it's like to be black and female. But there is a truth in the body of Christ that makes me know that woman to woman, we got it going on, because I know she understands me. There's a level I know that I know these other women, whether they share my skin color or not, understand me. And that gives me great joy. Because, see, that's just one less thing the devil has to use to separate, divide, and conquer. Truth. Know the truth. And it's the truth shall set you free. There is a new law of life that will set you free. In Romans 8:32, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came to do what? To give what? To give life. And to give it more abundantly. It's okay, that's good too. And in that life, there is liberty and freedom to be who he has created us to be. And why do we call it, why am I saying that it's a lifestyle? Because so many people will not operate and walk in the lifestyle of Jesus. The liberty and the freedom of truth and confrontation. And I don't mean like just all up in your face like you see on TV. Y'all know that's not what I mean. What I mean is the confronting of each other when we're sitting and we're having a conversation and someone just keeps saying the same thing over and over again and they're saying, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. And they keep looping back and forth. And finally you look at them and say, look here, you looping. God already gave you the answer. You just don't like it. Woo! Woo-hoo! That's truth. And that's confirmation. You know, that's a confrontation. I'm sorry. That's truth and confrontation to me. Because if I'm looping, then that means I'm already set up for the trap. I'm already set up for the trap. If I keep looping over that same thing, and no matter what you say, I keep going back to it, and I'm basing it on some prophecy that I got 10 years ago about some guy I've been knowing 14 years, and he got me. And you're trying to tell me, and you're just feeling something inside, and you know something isn't right, but you're sitting there holding it, and you won't say nothing? So you're going to let me keep looping. You're going to let me fall in this trap. And then 6 months later, you're going to hear how I fell in this trap with this guy. And then you're going to be feeling bad. Why you don't do that? Why feel bad later? Feel bad now about confronting and her being mad, me being mad, and say, look, I don't care if you're mad. This is what I feel in my spirit God is telling me to tell you. So now you can get mad or get glad, whichever way you want to go, but I am not going to have it on my hands, okay? Now you're looping here. And especially if it turns out that God gave you a dream and I gave you a vision in prayer and said to you, who is your king? Am I your king? Or is Saul your king? And I'm right in the middle of asking for a husband and I think I know who it is. Well, that sounds like my answer to me. Of course, God, you're my king. Then what's this other guy? What's this about? Who's this Saul guy you keep coming bringing to me? It's okay. We still friends? That's good. Truth. The bondage of sin is broken in Romans 8 and 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So there is a glorious liberty in the children of God as we are set free and walk in the lifestyle that Jesus has called us to walk in. That lifestyle of where the fruit is being made manifest in our life. Where our prayer life is regular. Not sporadic. Not just when something is pressing on you. But your prayer life is regular. Those ladies that are in this room and men who are in this room, and if you are married, I'm telling you right now, your conversation with your husband cannot be sporadic. If your conversation with your husband or the person that you're engaged to, that you're talking about, if your conversation is sporadic, there's a problem with that. So if your conversation with your best friend, the girl or the guy that you think that God wants you to marry or your husband is not sporadic, but it's consistent and it develops the relationship. It brings out things in the relationship that you might not have known existed before. You might, through your truth and confrontation with one another, find out that this might not be what you thought it was going to be. Or that it might be harder than you thought it was going to be. So you can make some choice decisions before you spend that $5,000 on that wedding. And then you get to the altar and everybody's in the church and they wait a whole hour and Johnny Bobo didn't show up. Because y'all wasn't talking. Yeah, it happened a month ago here in Hot Springs. The girl didn't even know his mama's name, didn't know his middle name, couldn't answer no questions. Being pushed by that spirit on the inside looping. And people were telling her it didn't sound right, but they were not confronting it. They were saying, well, I don't know, girl, but it don't sound right. Don't you never come to me if you don't want a real answer. Don't even. Because if it don't sound right, I'm telling you it don't sound right. Because you get out of life what you put into it. They say, cast your bread on the water and many days it shall return. I don't even know if that really is in the Bible, but anyway, I do know it works. I want people to be honest with me. You should want people to be honest with you and to tell you the truth. And you should be prayed up enough that when that truth comes forth, deep calleth unto deep, that something on the inside of you goes, wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I know that that's the truth. I know that that's the answer. I know it. And be so broken because you have spent so much time in the Word, and the Word has broken you. The Word has built you up. The Word has prepared you that you are willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done, O God. That you're willing to understand that yes, you are a target. And we will always be a target. There is a scripture in It's in Jeremiah. And it talks about wearing makeup and wearing the makeup and putting on the pearls and the beautiful clothes, trying to fit in with the world, and that no matter how much of that you put on, no matter how much of that you dress yourself up, the world knows who you are. You cannot blend in. So you do stand out. So why do we always ask the question of ourselves, When we come for prayer, is no matter where I go, I'm working on that job, just always picking on me. They're just always got something to say to me about. And hello, welcome to the lifestyle of the Christian individual. Our liberty and freedom is not based on the circumstances around us. Our liberty and freedom should not be based on what people have to say about us. The liberty and freedom that we have comes in the Spirit. When we were upstairs and we prayed, we understood that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and things in high places. Even in those people that we work around, those people that we're in school with, even our family members, and especially our family members. Oh, are we different? The minute that you begin to let this Word liberate you and set you free to walk in the lifestyle of liberation, your family is up in arms. Why? Because you are rocking their boat. You're rocking the boat. Whatever the deep dark secrets are that they've been hiding all of these years, and it's been festering, it's got giant-sized maggots all over it, and this thing is going from one generation to another generation, and you're finally the one to stand up and say, stop! In the name of Jesus, do you think they're going to like you? They haven't got a clue what's wrong with you. They already know they crazy. Now they really know you off. And Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, all them little, everybody goes, as soon as you come in the room, they all get quiet. And somebody always got something to say. They start hiding the beer, they start hiding the wine and stuff. And then sometimes they so mad at you, they won't even hide it. They just put it out there for you to see it. See what you're going to do. Yeah, I remember you when. Yeah, you weren't always this famous here. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Because see, the demons in them see this. So let's just have at it. Bam, bam, a few times during the party. You know, I go, just go. Be who you are. You go. You learn to walk in the Spirit. Jesus had a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. Tell him to give you a few jokes. You go and crack a few jokes with him. Time to eat dinner. You bring out your favorite potato salad, whatever it is that you do. Put it out on the table, and everybody cracks on your potato salad. Aren't you ever going to make anything else? Why? This is good. You're eating it. You know, make it funny. Stop making it so, you know, you just get so religious, and they get so wanting to just mess you up. You can't witness, and then that takes away from your lifestyle, your Jesus lifestyle. This is okay, because, see, we're going to learn how to handle this. Because it goes along with the program. It goes along with who we are. It went along with who Jesus was. He was always different. So, if Jesus had to go through it, and if Jesus was different, who are we to think that we're going to be any different, or that anyone is going to treat us any differently than they did Jesus? That's why we said, He is Jesus the Christ. We are Christians, so we are going to be like Him. He died a perfect death to save us for all of our sins, all of our illnesses, everything. What little thing is it for you to wake up every morning and say, this is a good day to die. Die to yourself. That's such a little thing in comparison to what he did. Just wake up every morning and find another thing to die to. Whatever your thing is, die to that. And put him in the place of that. And you become more and more like him. Amen? Amen. Liberty and bondage brings about the presence of the Spirit. And it secures. In 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So, if the Spirit of the Lord is living down on the inside of you, and how much you allow Him to live inside of you determines what? How much freedom and how much liberty you really have. Enough liberty and enough freedom to stand against the wiles of the enemy. To go to the bathroom at the office if it becomes necessary and go into a long sha-ta-ta-ta. So you can get your prayer on in the bathroom before somebody pushes your button and causes you to forget that you saved. And then you lose your witness. And you know once you lose your witness with people you work for or work with, or people in your family, you know they never let you forget that. You be cleaning that up for a long time. Y'all know I'm right. I don't care. Y'all know I'm right. You be cleaning it up for a long time when you mess up like that. So you have to allow yourself to have the freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus so that you can walk through the storm. The day before yesterday, the ladies and I talked about the eagle and walking through the eye of the storm. You also have to remember that the word says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. If you will do that, you will find yourself what? Walking in the freedom and the liberty of Christ. Because you're not leaning on your own understanding about what's going on around you. You're focused and you're looking straight ahead. Your peripheral vision to me is covered by prayer and intercession that you do. Because when you get into prayer and intercession, which is a part of your life, daily lifestyle and a part of your daily walk with the Lord, He's going to tell you when things are happening. How many little things, and you thought it was just a little thing, that the Holy Spirit was trying to tell you and you ignored it. And within the next 15 minutes to a half an hour, that very thing happened. And had you paid attention, such and such would not have happened. See, when God starts talking to us in that little bitty, small, little bitty voice, like he was talking to Moses on the mountain, a little bitty voice, that means that you are growing up. It means you're growing up. He's not going to be parting the Red Sea. You know what I'm saying? He parted the Red Sea for you when you got saved and killed all of Pharaoh's army, all them demons, all that alcohol, all that whatever was chasing you around. He did all of that already. So now we're moving out of being little children and toddlers into being perfect, which means mature in him. So when you are mature, say, sometimes y'all can just look at each other and know what the other one wants. We'll have to, you know. Hey, baby. You don't have to say a whole lot. So when he's talking to you in that little voice, he is trying to sensitize you to his voice. So he doesn't have to yell at you when something is about to happen or when he wants you to do something. Does that make sense? So be ready for the little voice. Where we're at a point now where he's going to speak softly. He's going to speak calmly to us. And we need to be ready to move no matter what it is. Just stop dead still if you're not sure. And I know that that's hard to do because we look for the big voice. We still look for the big giant size, open the Red Sea miracle type thing. And that's all good when you first get saved. But what happens? Do you not watch your lifestyle? Do you not watch how God is growing you? that you, the same thing that he did 9, 10, 15, 20 years ago when you got saved, he's not doing that anymore? Have you not recognized that? Everything, we have to grow in him so that we grow into the lifestyle that he has called us to grow into. Now, there are warnings that God gives us in the Word of God about abusing our liberty. And again, 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, but take heed lest any, by any means, this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, that's always a good thing to talk about. People talk about having a glass of wine or going to the movies, you know, things like that that people think are old-fashioned and that we should be over that. Do you know how many people cannot go to movies or who cannot have a glass of wine? And just because you are mature enough to have a glass of wine because that was not your particular addiction and you can have one and keep flowing. Although usually when you get saved, healed, and delivered, you know, you don't want it anyway. I mean, but you know, let's say you were out with the president or something and you know, they passed out the champagne and you like, whatever. There are people that you can't do that around because you end up being a stumbling block to them because their addiction is alcohol, so you don't do it. You don't do it. It's just that simple. That doesn't put you in bondage. That means you care enough about the people that are around you that you will not be a stumbling block to them by having a drink because you know they don't need one because you know how they get when they get one drink. You know how they get. Some people can go to the show and see certain kinds of movies and they're okay. But you may have a friend that cannot go to that kind of movie. So why do you even ask them? I don't like scary movies. I don't like blood and stuff gushing out and, you know, and dead people rising up out of the water and everything. Oh, nah, that is not my idea of a good movie. I'm telling you that right now. I like the chick flicks. I got mail, so, you know, oh, no, I'm not going for the dead people rising up out of the water and all that kind of stuff. That's too traumatic. It's too traumatic. So don't even ask me to go there, you know. And then you get these movies where there's a little bit too much skin and everything. My sister loves movies. She loves those things. I'll be praying for that child. I pray for her. She said, oh, it's just stage blood. I said, I'm praying for you. I'm just praying for you because, see, it's going to be more than that. I said, you're already scary, so why you keep going in them scary movies? Oh, no, I'm not. I said, oh, yes, you are. And she doesn't realize that these movies she's looking at is feeding this fear thing that's on her. Well, I tell you, they work me overtime in my family. I don't know what they do for you. You know, family will work you. They will, you know, they will carry us all away when it comes time to praying for our families. All our knees need to be like Elijah's. I mean, our knees need to be busted up. I watched it's so funny. That came to my mind just as I was talking. I don't even know if you guys have even seen any of these films by Tyler Perry. They're all very, very funny. They're all biblically based at the end, you know, and he has he plays a character called Mud Deer, and she talks to this guy with a fence named Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown came out in one of the films, and I tell you, he had these shorts on, and he had this shirt on, and she told him he looked like a pregnant basketball. I mean, he was really fat. And his knees had all this white stuff on him. And just as I talked about Elijah praying, I saw Mr. Brown with these white knees. But that was exactly what was happening. People were praying so that when they died and buried them, their knees were like all just covered up with scale, with, you know, hard from praying. Calluses, thank you. From calluses. And you know what? And because this film is based on Christian principles and everything, the Lord just revealed it to me because Mr. Brown is the only one in the movie that's always supposed to be saved. He's always, you know, oh, glory, hallelujah, 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 one of those kinds. And I believe that he always does his knees like that because he wants everybody to believe that he's always praying. Okay, so it's a good series, but I had that feeling, and I believe that in my heart that that's what we're supposed to be like. Like, I know for me, it's hard for me to pray on my knees, but I like to walk and pray. I don't know. Other people, you know, I like to walk and pray. It just seems like I just get a freedom and a liberty, you know, when I can just walk and pray. You know, and I'm just like, you know, having at it. So, whatever's good. Maybe that's why my feet so bad. I tell y'all, I got calluses you wouldn't believe. So maybe it is the very opposite. But and when I say my feet are bad, I don't mean like bad, bad. I mean I do have calluses on my feet, and I do believe that it's because I like to pray walking. I can't sit down. I don't know how people can pray sitting down. I got to get up. I got to move. And we talked about that upstairs, about prayer life and our prayer life being active and violent and passionate, you know, for the things of God, that we want to see those things in our lives move and see those things in the lives of our loved ones to be moved out of the way so that they too can share in and have the liberty and freedom that comes in knowing who Jesus Christ is and being willing to walk in His way. Amen? Amen. You know, there are many titles for the Holy Spirit, and as we live our lifestyle, as we cut out all of the fat, cut out all the fat in our lives and become lean, clean, flying machines. You know, just like that eagle, when he knows there's a certain time in his life when he knows that he's going to have to go into the eye of the storm, and he begins to throw himself against the rock. And as he throws himself against that rock, all those loose feathers come out. And by the time he gets through, all he is a lean, flying machine. And up out of those sockets where those feathers have come is an oil that comes up out of there and covers those wings so that as he moves into the eye of the storm, it's just a gliding. It's a gliding. And I believe that when you leave this place today, that that's the vision that you need to have about yourself as an eagle, and that the things that you go through and those things that you feel that are keeping you from reaching your destiny, throw yourself against the rock of our salvation. Have somebody stand with you and pray and minister with you about deliverance so you can get those feathers that have no reason being there out of your wingspan so that you can sail into the eye of the storm. Because on the other side of the eye of the storm is your destiny. On the other side of the eye of the storm is salvation and healing and deliverance for your family members. On the other side of the eye of the storm is wisdom and revelation and knowledge and understanding about life, about the people that have been in your life and for what purpose were they there. The past few days I have felt so woo. And I finally realized it was test time for me. You know, I left my car, went out, and I was trying to get the road assistance, and that didn't work. And then when the road assistance came a day and a half later, I got out of the car, dropped my cell phone, drove over the cell phone, couldn't find it for 2 hours. I found the cell phone, and now I got to get a new cell phone. And I'm like, okay, this is not the time not to have a cell phone. What's going on? So I'm praying. But I noticed something about Cheryl this time. That while all of this was going on and normally would have me really been out of shape, and true enough I was, there was a difference in my being out of shape. I was so different this time because instead of me seeing it as this awful thing and all these awful things happening, I felt like what God was saying, the time for promotion is just beyond, just over the hill of your obedience. How are you going to react and respond to this? And because God loves us, He'll give you a cheat sheet, but you gotta look for the cheat sheet. My cheat sheet was, I had borrowed the sister's car right here at the camp, and I got in the car, and this girl makes that car her prayer altar. So I'm driving down the road thinking about this stuff, just crying. I'm just crying. I'm like, don't you? I'm getting down the road. I said, oh, I'm just crying, Jesus. You're just so wonderful. But I can say that without crying. Why am I crying, Jesus? You're just so wonderful. And I realized that I'm in the presence of God in this car. So that was my cheat sheet. I was like, okay, all right now. So you have to continue your walk. Continue to keep your eye on where God is telling you to go. Sometimes it can be so severe that you can only do one day at a time. And there are other times when you can only do 1 hour at a time. If I can just get through this hour, it'll be okay. And I get through the next one, it'll be okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the strength. And then you suddenly begin to realize that this really was that test just before promotion. Now, all the years that I've been walking with the Lord, I can't say that I ever saw that before. You know what I'm saying? It's always been like one of those things where I was always fighting. Okay, you want to fight? Okay, we're going to fight. Yeah. But this time he had mercy. His mercy and his grace endured forever. I had my own chariot. And the Holy Ghost was in the chariot with me. So therefore, I wasn't all bent out of shape. I was like, oh, glory to God. This is going to work out. This is going to be fine. And I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. That makes this walk to me worth it. When I get to a place that I can see within my own life how God has built him an altar in my life, and that I have actually allowed him to sit on the throne of my heart, and that I'm willing and I'm ready. And I'm not saying that because I'm all that in a bag of chips, because tomorrow I might do something crazy. But there is a time in all our lives when we will see that moment in time in the presence of God when we know, hallelujah, that we may not be Miss Mildred who can get that catnap and still wake up and preach the word. We may not be right there yet. But we know that we are not what we were when we started out. We know we're not. And when you know in your own heart how stubborn you can be, and you can see the number of times he was just like, are you going to get this or what? Doesn't that kind of make you love him more? Instead of looking at all of the stuff as bad things that have happened over the past few days, you finally begin to realize it's just something else for God to do for you to show you how to get out of a mess. And that every time God shows up in your life and you have to brush feathers with him, how much better off are you? If it takes that to drive us into him, to drive us unto under the wings, under the shadow of his wings, okay, fine. Because maybe I was too busy. Maybe I needed this downtime. Maybe I needed to hear. There's something going on that I need to hear from him. God is an awesome God. And he has set up parameters for us that if we live within those parameters, there is such a liberty and a freedom in him. When we pray and ask for the mind of Christ and the heart of God, to be able to see what God sees, to hear what God hears, to be able to move on his word at the instant, this is where we want to go. This is what we want to be like. We want to be like him. Don't you just want more of him? I mean, I want more of him. I want more of him. I'm not, you know, I don't know how people think they'll make it without him. How can we even think that from day to day that we can make it without praying? From day to day that we can make it without the Lord? We cannot. And when you hold that and let that be your anchor, your lifestyle will be one of liberty and freedom, because there is so much freedom in him. To be able to see things as they really are. To not be so angry at that mother that you feel that didn't do you right. Not to be so angry at that father who was not there to cover you, because you realize that they themselves could not give you what they themselves did not get. When you get wrapped up and tied up in the lifestyle of Jesus and make it your own, you can see that. It's almost like the song, I can see clearly now. And then you can move on and really be free. You can move on and really be free. Know that the Holy Spirit has sent as a comforter. Says that in John 14 and 16. In Hebrews 9, 14, it says that the Holy Spirit is an eternal spirit. So he's not going to run off on you. He's not going to be here on Wednesday and skip on Thursday. He's eternal. He's going to be there day in and day out. That it's a free spirit. Psalms, let's go to Psalms 51 and 12. Let's see what that says. And I'm telling you, don't worry about being a target. It's okay. It's a part of your lifestyle. Don't worry about being a target. It's a wonderful thing to be a target for the Lord. Are we there? Psalms 51 and 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Thy free spirit, the Holy Ghost. Uphold me with thy free spirit. See, the Holy Ghost is free. He goes in and out. He'll take you on a trip. He'll take you in the middle of the night if your prayer time is 3 o'clock. He'll take you to Africa and have you praying for someone in Africa. Have you praying for someone in Belize. Have you praying for someone. He's free enough to take you where you want to go. If you want to be obedient to the Lord, and he'll cause you to be able to see things and to go places that you have never gone before. Ooh, that sounds like a title. Go to places you've never gone before. And what? And there's faith and trust in him. We don't have enough of it, folks. We don't have enough of it. We need more faith and trust in him. We need to get up in the morning, and we need to get up in the morning and put your cape on. Faith, hope, and trust. And head out. In faith, hope, and trust. You know? We don't need no big S on our chest. We got this. So just put your cape on of faith, hope, and trust in God. And know that you're going out where some have never dared to go before. Ooh. Ooh. See. You know. That's what you have to see in walking with the Lord. Because not many people are going to be willing to do what you do. They're not going to be willing to walk that extra mile for somebody that they don't know. They're not going to be able to do all of the things that Jesus did and see the way that Jesus saw things and to be able to, first of all, remove the boulder from their eye before they start talking about somebody else's boulder. These things are different. These are the things that make us Christ-like. So therefore, you are a target. You are going to be different. Accept it and get over it and put on your cape of faith, hope, and trust and hit the dough. Go on into the mission field, whatever that is for you. And know that he's going to be there because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This Holy Spirit is a spirit of adoption, and it talks about that in Romans 8 and 15. We're adopted into the body of Christ. Amen? The spirit of counsel, Isaiah 11 and 2. The spirit of glory, 1 Peter 4 and 14. The spirit of grace, Zechariah 2 and 10. The spirit of knowledge, Isaiah 11 and 2. The spirit of might, Isaiah 11 and 2. The spirit of prophecy, Revelations 19 and 10. The spirit of the Father in Matthew 10 and 20. The spirit of the Son in Galatians 4 and 6. The spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom in Isaiah 11 and 2. The spirit of truth in John 14 and 17. These are the things that God has given on the inside of us through the Holy Ghost. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, and truth. These are the things that cause us to walk differently and circumspectively among our brethren who are not like us. And this is what causes us to be able to pray for them, to be able to love on them when they know themselves that they're not being lovable. So grab your cape, take the shackles off your feet so you can dance, put on the breastplate of righteousness, your helmet of salvation, girdle your loins up with truth, and get ready for battle. Because this is a lifestyle that you've chosen. But unless you believe that you've been saved, now if you're not saved, you got to be saved now. Y'all saved? Everybody in here saved? All right. If everybody in here saved, then What I'm talking about is real. What I'm talking about is your lifestyle. And what I'm saying to you should make all the sense in the world. So let's stand to our feet. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for this time together and in your presence. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we take authority right now and we bind the spirit of doubt and unbelief off the people. Right now, we bind the spirit of fear. We bind the spirit of double-mindedness. We bind the spirit of arrested development. We bind these spirits right now in the name of Jesus and we curse them at the root. We applied the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, from the crown of their head to the very sole of their feet. And we say, rise up, O spirit man, and begin to superrule in all of our lives, leading and guiding us into all things of truth, right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the mind of Christ and the heart of God. We thank you, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you that our minds, Father God, that our minds are shielded by the helmet of salvation, our breastplate of faith, the shield of faith, and that our loins are girded about with truth. We thank you for the shield of faith. We thank you that our feet, Father God, are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that when we walk into a place, great peace shall come in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, God. We worship you for it, God. We know there's none other like you, God. That wherever we go, God, we shall take back the land. We shall take it back line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little. God, your word says that he who wins souls is wise. And we thank you for wisdom, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's okay. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise your name, God. There is none like you. We pour out upon the people of God, Father. Right now, the freedom and liberty that is spoken about in your word that we have studied here this afternoon. Let it permeate your people, God. Let it pour out over them from the crown of their heads to the very sole of their feet, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. We worship you, God. There is none like you, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we bind backlash and retaliation against your people. Those that have left, that are those that are going to leave, and those that stand here in your presence, O God. We bind that spirit now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for protection. We bind death and destruction and accidents and mechanical failures on the way home in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of God to go forth and stand beside and to guard them, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. You said where two or three come together touching and agreeing that you would be in the midst. And we are asking you for that that we know we can have, God. You said if the strong man be found, that we can expose him and that you will, Father God, that we can bind him and we can attack his camp. So we are binding the strong man over the camp and over every family that has been in and out of these doors in the name of Jesus. And we lose confusion in their camp. We loose the angels of God to go in and drag these devils off in the name of Jesus to where Jesus has told them to go. Now, Father God, the food that is being prepared as we begin to break our fast, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless the hands that prepared it. We ask you to bless the hands that served it. And we ask you to bless the administration in the house, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we believe it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give him a holy shout. Hallelujah!
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.